You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The election is well and truly underway, and the parties have been launching their manifestos. Fianna Fáil, what is in it? What are they saying? And what do you need to know about the soldiers of destiny heading into this election? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the Let Me Explain podcast. Sean Defoe here. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We did miss an episode last week, but there was a little bit going on. You might have heard this thing called the general election has been called. Simon Harris has dissolved the Dáil, and that meant utter chaos around the place, and getting our heads into that and getting our heads around everything that was to come, all the levels of detail. Myself and Ivan Yates have been recording predictions for every single Dáil constituency, all 43 of them. They're up in a podcast called Calling It, which you can get now. You can get, I think there's 15 or 16 episodes out as of calling this, or as of recording this rather, and getting underway. But on the Let Me Explain feed, we're going to be delving into different topics during the election, giving you the ins and outs of how to vote. For example, in the coming weeks, we did one on registering to vote as well. We're going to hopefully be looking at the opinion polls. How exactly do they work behind the scenes? That's the sort of stuff you can expect on the feed over the next little while. And I'm also going through all of the election manifestos. So I have been at the various launches that have started already. They're going to come throughout the campaign. And when I've had a bit of time to digest them, we'll be doing a podcast to let you know exactly what's in them and what you need to know. We're going to start today with Fianna Fáil because they were the first out of the traps. Possibly the earliest I've ever seen a manifesto launched in a campaign. Now, they did have quite a bit of time to prepare it in the run-up to this, and they wanted to get their policies out of the traps pretty quickly. So we'll look at what's in there, what they're promising, and then after that, a bit of a broader look at where Fianna Fáil are and some of the difficulties they might face and some of the advantages that they have going in to this election, and why I think there is a good chance that Fianna Fáil will remain the largest party after this election, despite the wind that seems to be behind Simon Harris. But first, let's get in to the manifesto. It's a large document, I think more than 30,000 words. It's, you know, a small book, basically, that has been published. And there's a few key things you need to know. So let's start with the economy, because this is one of the areas where the government has really been pushing their credentials, saying, look, the economy is going well. We've managed it through the shocks of COVID, of the first war in Europe in many, many times. Fine Gael was saying that they were around for the last Donald Trump era. You need to trust us. Some of the things that Fianna Fáil is promising, they're going to increase, or say they're going to increase, the entry point for the higher rate of income tax to at least 50,000 euros. That would benefit you if you're on the 40% rate. They also want to cut the lower rate of USC from 3% to 1.5%, introduce a tax credit for gym membership. This is something that's in a couple of the manifestos, actually, a sort of a economic slash health measure. And they also pledge to run budget surpluses, renew the national debt, reduce the national debt, and keep on putting money away for a rainy day to prepare for an economic shock whenever and however it comes, as well as expanding investment in services. It's kind of tied in their economic policies with a cost of living package, so increases to the state pension, for example. They're one of the parties planning to increase the state pension to €350 a week by 2028, so over the next 4 years. Increase core social welfare rates by at least €12 annually. Now, this is a pretty big one. This is a costly one as well. It used to be that the row was over the annual fiver. If you remember, only a couple of budgets ago, that people were getting a €5 increase on their welfare rates and on their pension. Now Fianna Fáil wants to bake in what they've done the last few years, €12 annually across the board. Childcare then is another big one. And a lot of the parties, I wonder how much of a vote getter it will be, because it's a big promise, it's an important promise, but a lot of parties are saying it, which maybe means it's more likely to happen. Fianna Fáil saying they would reduce childcare fees to €200 per child per month over the time frame of the next government, with an increase in the national childcare subsidy. So investing quite heavily there in childcare to bring the cost down. And they're also talking about the VAT rate. This has become a little bit of a spark between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in the early days of the campaign. It's a bit technical. Without trying to bore you, Fianna Fáil say they would keep the VAT rate at 9% on energy bills. Under EU law, we could only have two reduced rates of VAT. So you have your, 23% rate, a 0% rate, and then you can have two rates in between. Some stuff like construction is at 13.5%, tourism at the moment is at 13.5%, and then you have a small number of areas that are on a 9% gym memberships, which is why they're talking about a tax credit for gym memberships, and some energy as well. So Fine Gael came out over the weekend and said that they would introduce a permanent 11% VAT rate for food hospitality, not including hotels, but including restaurants, and that Fianna Fáil hit back saying, well, if you did that, you'd have to push energy back to 11% because you couldn't keep the 9% rate, and therefore you'd increase people's electricity bills, and they're plotting to keep the 9% VAT rate instead. Housing then, a big one. Obviously, Fianna Fáil has had the housing ministry over the last few years. They have faced up to the problem. You will have your own opinion on how well they've done. House prices have increased massively over the course of this government, as has the cost of rent. But so has house building on the other side, and they are building more. I think Dara O'Brien is looking at about 40,000 homes this year. A lot of scepticism that that is actually going to be reached, and some recent CSO figure suggested it may be closer to 34, which would only be a very slight increase on 2023. When it comes to housing, Fianna Fáil are promising to ramp up supply to building 60,000 home units a year by 2030. That's in line with the broader government targets. That includes 10,000 affordable units a year, 12,000 social housing units a year. They also want to create a new above-the-shop refurbishment grant of €100,000. So this is for parts of rural Ireland, and you'll have seen them in towns around the country, maybe that you're listening from, where there's the shop or the pub or whatever below, and above it is sort of an empty space that could be a house, that could be an apartment. So, and has gone derelict in the meantime, isn't being used, or maybe it's just being used as storage and yet could be a home for somebody. So create an above-the-shop refurbishment grant there. Extend the Help to Buy scheme out to 2030. That's the scheme that gives people their tax back towards a deposit. And bring in a €2,500 tax credit for legal surveying and valuation fees for first-time buyers. That would actually be quite a helpful one, because my God, having bought a house myself in recent years, the amount of extra things, the hidden costs that you don't factor in, the solicitors, the surveying, if you're, you know, you're buying a second home in particular, snagging costs even, it's valuing fees, getting it valued independently and all that sort of stuff. It can be quite a lot. So €2,500 credit there. And then they are also promising to double the renter's tax credit. Moving on to justice, this was one that Micheál Martin spent a good bit of time at the Fine Gael launch, or Fianna Fáil launch rather, and I asked him, do you want the justice brief in the next government? At the moment it's Helen McEntee's, it's Fine Gael, and a lot of people in Fianna Fáil don't think she's done a fantastic job, and he told me he does. That would be a brief that he's targeting. It's been one that's had a lot of attention over the last few years, with the immigration issue in particular, but also riots in Dublin and things like that. Fianna Fáil wanting to introduce a dedicated transport police. They've been banging that drum for a while, including a number of senators banging that drum, and it's contained in the manifesto as something they want to do, even though the guards themselves aren't all that hot on that idea. Speaking of the guards, they want to employ 5,000 extra Gardaí over the next 5 years. An interesting one. So there's been this trial of body cams in a number of cities. Fianna Fáil want to give Gardaí, frontline Gardaí, body cams, and also the power to remove face masks at protests. So this was one of those ones that was sort of hidden a little bit in it. and didn't get asked at the thing. So I don't know, is that like remove face masks from protesters? I presume that's what they're talking about. And people who are maybe being quite unsavory and trying to hide their face in public, that sort of thing. A new department. A lot of these parties are promising new departments and new ministers of state and things like that. You'll see that as we go through this series. But Fianna Fáil want to create a new department of and minister for domestic affairs to take the lead on national security issues, counter-terrorism, cybersecurity and migration. This would sit under the remit of the Department of Justice and the Minister for Justice as a new standalone department, sort of like the Home Office in the UK. And one then that has got a bit of controversy that Fine Gael in particular seems to have hopped on. There was a line in the manifesto that said decriminalise drug possession for personal use. But, and my one big criticism of the Fianna Fáil thing would be a lot of the commitments were a little bit woolly and maybe lacking on the detail. It's not all drugs. That's not what they want. They've had to come out in the meantime and clarify that. So they're not talking about cocaine and heroin. And Micheál Martin has said subsequently he's talking about cannabis. He wants to decriminalise the possession of cannabis for personal use and that he doesn't believe it should be a justice approach to drugs and that instead it should be a health-based, health-led approach to making people more aware of the risks of drugs and the damage that they can do to you. On education, reduce class sizes, target of one teacher for every 19 pupils, fund the reinstating of on-site therapies in schools for children with additional needs, create small school schemes so that 1,300 small schools can share some resources and extra benefits, increase the SUSE grant for third level and introduce a €500 grant for students on mandatory work placement, introduce laws as well to require internet companies to verify a user's age and other anti-bullying measures. That's an interesting one. It's one that Micheál Martin is very hot on. He has said in the past he thinks that social media and the internet is the biggest social health challenge of the next generation, that there's so much that goes on there mentally, technically, all the rest of it, that it's a real big problem. And that very clearly, in particular, the likes of X don't care. They want the clicks, they want the money, they want the advertising. That's all they want. They're not going to take the lead on this. So he's suggesting that Fianna Fáil will take a greater lead on this. And I know Micheál Martin in particular, he took a High Court case, obviously, about fake ads. I can't remember what they were promoting, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency or some sort of scam anyway, that we used his face and he was very unhappy about that. So it's something quite personal to him. So there's sort of the broad strokes to take them of the Fianna Fáil manifesto. As I said, look, there's quite a lot in it. There's 180 odd pages. So there's plenty in there as you get into it and look at all the different policies. One that caught my eye during the reading of it was to introduce a right to be forgotten for cancer patients. Obviously, I'm going to be particularly interested in that as a former cancer patient myself and someone who's fought it, that there would be an amnesty after 7 years when it comes to getting insurance and things like that, because having it as a pre-existing condition can rule you out of a lot of insurances, can make it very hard to buy a house as well if you can't get mortgage protection and things like that because of it. So that was one of the little interesting measures in there. And I'm sure you'll see plenty more from the people who are coming to your door and pushing envelopes in, depending on what their big issue is and what the big issue for you is. When we look at Fianna Fáil more broadly, it's sort of interesting. So they've had a pretty okay run of government. Again, that's subjective, depends on what you think. But this government was more stable than a lot of people would have thought it was. They got it through. They can point to big wins in the government. If you look at the education sector, you can point to the free school books thing, which I think is genuinely a very big thing for a lot of families, that all children will now have free school books. That's a big expense taken off people. When you look at health, you can point to the free IVF, free HRT. Housing obviously is a struggle department that they have had. There's no doubt about that. But there are more homes being built than there were 5 years ago. That is also true. So depending on your own circumstances and position, I suppose, is how will be how you view that one. Certainly, they are not afraid to fight this election on housing. And as I'm recording this, the day that I'm recording this, four different parties are launching housing documents. So they're going to try and make it an issue. I wonder, does it have the same sting it did 4 years ago? I'm just not 100% sure. It is still definitely one of the biggest issues of the campaign, but I don't know, is it going to end up being the issue of the campaign? Agriculture, the other big department that they had, and I think Charlie McConnellogue will get a very mixed reception from farmers. All three of the major parties made pitches to the IFA this week in the first week of campaigning. A lot of them not happy with things like the nitrates delegation and generally the way the farming is going. So that will be probably a pressure point for the government when it comes to the farmers' vote, which may be more split and is probably less significant than it's been in a long time. There's just less farmers around, and that points to a wider problem in the sector itself, maybe for another day. So how do we think they are going to do overall? Like, Micheál Martin is in this interesting position now where he is very much the elder statesman of government, and he gave out yards about people calling him grumpy and cranky and old and all this sort of stuff and private briefing coming from Fine Gael. But he is. He started with Leo Varadkar and Eamon Ryan. They had a very, very good, solid working relationship. And now in the last 6 months, the three leaders have changed to Simon Harris, who is all about young, 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 go, 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 all that sort of stuff. And Roger O'Gorman, who's young as well, and who gives more pushback, apparently, is what I've heard from sources around the government, than Eamon Ryan did. He's not quite as acquiescent to some of the requests of government. And this is, again, this is from Fine Gael briefing. They think, and some in Fianna Fáil as well, Micheál Martin really does not like Simon Harris. As a person, he's no problem with him, but as a politician, that he sees him as spin over substance. The same thing he saw with Leo Varadkar at the start and during the last campaign. Remember the byword. I remember this fantastic interview that Ivan Yates did with Micheál Martin, and he said, describe Leo Varadkar in one word. And there was this awful 30 seconds of awkward silence as Micheál Martin stammered around the issue.
Okay, give me one word to describe Leo.
One word to describe Leo. Can you describe Leo in one word? You can, yeah. Let me think now, yeah. You stumped me there now with that one, yeah. I don't want to be personal or anything like that, but I just simply say, look, let me think now. Spin.
And I think he thinks the same of Simon Harris. And here's this guy who's half my age, who's been in the Dáil half as long, and who is coming around with all the spin and energy behind him. I question the relationship there and how good it is. But at the end of the day, Micheál Martin is a pragmatist. He knows he probably has to work with him to get back into government to get a spin of the Taoiseach's chair. So how are Fianna Fáil going to do overall is the big question that everyone wants to know. Fine Gael have a win behind them. That's faltered a little bit in the early days of the campaign. The Michael O'Leary teachers thing probably hurts them a little bit. And the general perception is that Fianna Fáil have a stronger ground game. They have more incumbent TDs, they have incumbent senators, they have councillors who've been around an awful long time who are running. Some of those councillors, I mean, you look like it's a bit of a split. Look at Laois, Willie Ord for Fine Gael has been around 40 odd years. I think he was first elected in the 70s. So they have councillors who have been around a long time too. But for Fianna Fáil, they're really relying on the incumbency factor. Dublin is where it's difficult for them. There's just no doubt about that. I think they are going to struggle in Dublin. So if you look at the, let's just start from the top down and go north to south, and we'll be doing some of this with Ivan Yates in much more detail, but Dublin, Fingal West, don't think they're going to pick up a seat there with Lorraine Clifford Lee. I think Fine Gael will get ahead of them. Fingal East, Darragh O'Brien will keep his seat. Dublin Bay North, the retiring Sean Haughey, they will keep a seat there. Whether it's Deirdre Heaney or Tom Brabazon is hard to know. Dublin North West, Paul McAuliffe is in a fight now that Noel Rock of Fine Gael has entered into the campaign. So I wouldn't say he is absolutely guaranteed, even though I'd give him the advantage. You have Dublin West, Jack Chambers, the safest seat in Dublin. It was the only seat that they held in the wipeout of 2011 with Brian Lenehan. They're absolutely fine. Dublin Central, Mary Fitzpatrick, a senator. She's been running for years. She's been getting 10% for years, and I don't think she has a chance of getting elected in a crowded field there. Then you have Dublin Bay South. Jim O'Callaghan is in a scrap. Make no doubt about it. There is a safe Fine Gael seat there. I think Ivana Bacsik is safe. And after that, Chris Andrews, Jim O'Callaghan, Hazel Chu. Like, there is absolutely going to be an all-out war for those last two seats. As the campaign goes on, more and more people are saying to me, Jim O'Callaghan will be okay, but it's a scrap. I think only one of him and Chris Andrews might come back. Dublin South Central, they're fighting Fine Gael for the fourth seat there. Dublin Midwest, this is the biggest chance of a gain for Fianna Fáil when it comes to the capital. At least Shane Moynihan, the councillor, an extra seat out in Dublin Midwest. He's the odds-on favourite to take that extra seat. You've got the likes of Dublin Southwest, where they should hold there with John Lahart. Dublin Rathdown, this is an interesting one. Shay Brennan, the son of Seamus Brennan, famous Fianna Fáil organiser. He is certainly in the frame for the fourth seat. He'll be fighting it out. No guarantees there, but might get in. And then Dún Laoghaire, very shaky for the fourth seat. I had the fourth seat as a battle between the Greens and Fianna Fáil, and toss a coin on my opinion, I don't know which way it's going to go for Cormac Devlin versus Oisín Smith. So you can see, like, it's not the rosiest of pictures. Yeah, they could pick up a seat here and there. Some of their TDs are definitely in fights to hold it, and some just won't have a chance. I don't think there's any hope of them. So then Dublin is a difficult picture for them. Outside of Dublin is a bit better. You can see where Fianna Fáil will do well. I mean, Ivan has them taking three seats in Carlow Kilkenny. I think that's really tough. I'm not so sure there. I have them taking at least one seat in Wicklow Wexford, possibly even two. They have two really good candidates down there. Wicklow is difficult with Stephen Donnelly, Donegal. They should hold a seat, whether it's Charlie McConnellogue, I don't know. Mayo, they have a good chance of picking up a seat with Lisa Chambers. Galway East, very good day. They could perhaps pick up a seat there. Albert Dolan is this young gun who is really coming in. He's 25, I think, chairman of the, or Cathaoirleach of the council out there. Youngest councillor in the country, youngest candidate in the country for Fianna Fáil, has a really good chance. So it's a real mixed bag. I think Fianna Fáil have a floor as opposed to have a ceiling. You know, I don't see a big ceiling for Fianna Fáil. I see their floor, though, is about 20%, which assures you are returning with somewhere between 35 and 45 seats. I would peg them over 40 seats if I was taking the bet now. And based on the ground game that they have, I think there's a very good chance that they overtake Fine Gael. The problem they have is also probably their saviour in that they're a bit dull. They're a bit boring. Could you point to five things that Fianna Fáil really clearly stands for ahead of another party, even though they did this review in the last all term about what are the party values and all that sort of stuff? They're a little bit beige and vanilla, and I thought their manifesto was very safe. Some worthy things in it, some fine things in it, but nothing that would upset the apple cart. There's nothing in their manifesto to me that if it had been in Budget 2025, you'd have been hugely shocked and surprised, which is not what I'm looking for in a manifesto. I'm looking for you to go out and promise the world and have some big idea and vision for the country, and I'm not sure Fianna Fáil has that overall vision. So, like I say, their floor is 19-20, their ceiling is 23, 24, maybe on a good day. It was 22 last time around. So we shall see. They will be in the mix. They will probably be the proper kingmakers in that if they decide not to do business with Fine Gael and they have said they won't do business with Sinn Féin, it makes it very, very difficult for any government to be formed. And there is every chance that after this, Micheál Martin will be Taoiseach, either on first go or a run around next time around, like a rotating Taoiseach sort of thing with Simon Harris again. So I am not by any means ruling Fianna Fáil out here. I'm just saying as of now, 5 days into the campaign, I don't think they're lighting it up, but they're not doing terribly either. They're going okay. And I don't know, is that, you know, damning with faint praise, or is it just stating a fact of the situation that they will be there, thereabouts, they'll have a decent election? One thing that was said to me that was very interesting was from a very high up Fianna Fáil TD, and we'll end on this, very high up TD, who said to me that Micheál Martin is gunning for this election, that he wants to make up for not doing as well as they should have at the last one. They came in at around 30-32% in the polls, ended up at 22%. And he feels like this is his chance. This is almost his magnum opus. This is his opportunity to go out there in a fractured environment and do really well for Fianna Fáil and leave the party in a very good place. And I don't doubt the man's energy. I just doubt whether Fianna Fáil is in that place. We shall see. So that's a bit of Fianna Fáil, how I see their prospects going, what the manifesto contains, and yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be an interesting election for them. That was Let Me Explain. Don't forget to subscribe wherever it is you are listening, and check out Calling It, the podcast that I'm doing with Ivan Yates, going through all those constituencies in way, way more detail than I have there. Just a bit of a skim through, but to give you a flavour of where I think Fianna Fáil are a few days in to the campaign.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.